We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, Sheffield Community Church. A special welcome once again. Thank you for joining us, whether you're joining us from your home or from your office or wherever you are. We just welcome you this morning to our fifth series in the series we've been on for the last 5 weeks, God's Most Wanted List. And today we're doing part five, and the title of my message is God's Most Wanted List, The Barren. God's Most Wanted List, The Barren. Our story comes from the first chapter of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. From those first few verses of the book of 1 Samuel, we learn that a man named Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, and that we also read that Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Each year, following the commandment of the Lord, Elkanah took his whole family to a place called Shiloh. This is where the ark of the Lord was put in a tabernacle. So every year he will take his family down to Shiloh to worship and offer sacrifices to God. And they did this on and on. And so we pick up the story from verse 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 7. So it went on year by year. As often as she went to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they'd eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. On the surface, this family looks like was doing everything right at a time when Israel had no king and everyone did as he saw fit. These were the times of judges when the Israelites were not walking close to God as expected of them. And yet this family was committed to at least worshiping God. They always make the trip to Shiloh to worship God. Elkanah was satisfied as a man because he had children from his second wife, Peninnah. Peninnah herself was a happy woman because she had both sons and daughters to her husband. The culture of the day celebrated those type of women. But as for Hannah, nothing was all right for her in that marriage. Even though she had a wonderful, loving husband, she had one big problem. She was childless. For her, it was barrenness that was the presenting issue in her life. And because of that one key presenting issue, the dynamics in that family were changed. The atmosphere was different. We will see more, and we'll hear more about this home that was changed because of this one issue of the barrenness of the first wife. So what can we learn from this fascinating story that reads like a drama script? The first thing we learn from this story is that a God kind of barrenness always provokes a reaction from those around us. I would like you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to read. From verses 5 and 6. The Bible reads, "But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb." Verse 6 says, and her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. Twice the Bible says it was God who closed Hannah's womb. It is difficult to accept sometimes that some of our problems are actually allowed by God. In fact, what we call problems on earth can be seen as mysteries in the spirit realm. They are mysteries that cannot be explained by words, or we find no meaning in what's happening in our lives. We have limitations as mortal man. But God's sovereign will is sometimes beyond our understanding and explanation. And this is one of them, where Hannah finds herself barren. Nobody can explain to her what's going on. It's a mystery to her. It's a mystery to those around her. And as you will expect, Hannah's barrenness provoked different reactions from different people of the day. And the first reaction came from her culture. Her culture, the people of her culture. Hannah was Elkanah's first wife. But because she was barren, her options were very limited according to the cultural practices of the day. There were two options open for her. The first one was that she could go back to her father's house and become a desolate woman with no hope ever of getting married because she was barren. The second option for her was no better. It was for her to accept a polygamous marriage, for bad or for worse, whatever turned out in that polygamous marriage, it really didn't matter, because the second wife was going to bear children to her husband on her behalf. That option guaranteed a marital home and also her provision for as long as her husband was alive. That arrangement, of course, came with a package of its own, which we'll touch on in a minute. That was the culture of the day. So Elkanah finds himself with two wives as a response to Hannah's barrenness. And then there is a second reaction from her husband, Elkanah. In verse 8, Elkanah does what almost every husband listening to this message will do when he sees his wife in pain. He tries to rationalize and solve her problem. He gives Hannah, the Bible says, he gives her a double portion of meat to celebrate. This was meat that was sacrificed to God because he loved her. This was a means of showing honor to Hannah, showing how much he loved her, and just trying to comfort her. As much as hard as Elkanah tries to comfort Hannah, he could not heal the pain deep within Hannah's heart. It's something that was way, way deeper than a double portion. Hannah, it's as though, as far as Hannah was concerned, she was interpreting what Elkanah was doing to her as though he was saying, Hannah, you have got me. What more could you want? And he's telling this to a woman who's barren, who wants a child. He's trying to solve the situation when he should be trying to understand the situation that Hannah is going through. Hannah found no comfort at all in Elkanah's well-meaning but inadequate sympathy. If you're a husband listening to this message today, I know you've been there, you've done it, and have bought flowers afterwards. Say amen, ladies. And then there's a third reaction from her rival. Because of her barrenness, the Bible tells us that Peninnah would torment and provoke her. The literal translation of that is, she would thunder against her. You know, sometimes in our difficult, you know how difficult it is that there are people that literally thunder on us for nothing. And this is the situation where Hannah found herself in. She would use this opportunity to push her down, to belittle her, to tramp her down, and to treat her as nothing. And it's amazing that, it's quite interesting that Peninnah was deliberate in her attacks, and she chose a timing well. She chose the time when they were going to Shiloh to worship God. That was a favorite time of attacking Hannah. You can tell that this was strategic. This was designed to bring maximum damage to Hannah. Many of you women have been there. You know what it's like to be attacked, to be tormented, and to be provoked. And I'm sure men do. So by the time we get to verse 9 of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah has heard quite a lot. It has impacted her negatively. By this time, she's socially disgraced. She's emotionally miserable and spiritually broken. Many of you here are familiar with this. You've been there before. It is a common place for people from all walks of life because human beings do funny things to each other. You are not alone. Hannah is with you on this one. So one day, this socially disgraced, emotionally miserable, and spiritually broken woman, one day, it occurs to Hannah that she can actually do something about her barrenness. It occurs to Hannah that she can do something about a situation that she has never done before. This situation may be impossible to man, but there is something she can do to make it happen for herself. She can turn it around. She realizes that I can do something from what I've gone through. And can I encourage you this morning and say, regardless of how bad your situation is this morning, there is a way out. There is something you can do that can change your situation. Hannah has had it. Year on year, she will be attacked, provoked, and tormented by this woman. But a day came when it occurred to her just by chance that something can happen to change her situation. So this leads us to the second point, second lesson we can learn from this story. The best response to barrenness is to turn to God. Your best response to your barrenness in your life right now is to turn to God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 to 10 says, after they ate and drank in Shiloh, Hannah rose. And verse 10 says, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. So in these verses, we see that Hannah leaves the rest of the family. For the first time we read in Scripture, she leaves the rest of the family and makes her way to the tabernacle and begins to pray. She introduces a new dimension to her problems, to her distress, to her disgrace, to her situation. She has not done this before as far as we're concerned from Scripture. We have not read this. My friends, Hannah introduces a new weapon because she discovered that for the weapons we fight with are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the demolishing of strongholds. She discovers that these strongholds can come down. She discovers that we do not fight against flesh and blood. That is something different she was dealing with. Her barrenness was not normal. Despite what the medical report said, despite what is being said about your situation, it could just be that your situation is not normal. And Hannah realized that. One day, she realized that my situation can change. So instead of throwing a pity party, she turns to God in prayer. See, before this, Hannah would weep and not eat because Penina would provoke her until she lost the appetite. But this one day, instead of weeping and refusing to eat, she decided to introduce a new weapon. And this weapon is prayer. Hannah got to a point where she decided that change must happen in her life. The desire to change is the catalyst for open heaven and to go to the next level. She got to a level where she believed that the days of living as a barren woman were over. The desire for change is a signal that the yoke needs to be broken over your life. So year after year, Hannah will come to this very same tabernacle. She will come to this tabernacle and go home weeping and broken and desolate, even distressed because of what Peninnah was doing to her. But this one year, she realizes that, am I not in the house of God? Am I not in the presence of God? Am I not in a place where anything is possible because the Ark of the Covenant was right there in the tabernacle? And the Ark of the Tabernacle, the Ark of God represented the very presence, the Shekinah glory of God. And here is Hannah coming year in, year out. It will not register in her mind that she was coming into the very presence of God. But that one year, she realized that like anyone else, like anyone else whose eyes have been opened, like anyone else who's barren, because she was not the only woman who was barren. We read of so many women in the Bible that were barren. And there are so many people today that have got difficulties too. Spiritual barrenness too. And she realizes that she could pray for a child. She could pray for something to happen to a womb. We read that in verse 11, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. So Hannah is a broken woman before the Lord. Instead of weeping and losing her appetite on her way home, she now would weep bitterly before God in God's direction. She would weep while praying. She would pray while weeping. And that mixture touched the heart of God. She decided to do something different. She introduced prayer. And as she's praying, in verse 12 of the first chapter of Samuel, she makes a vow that the child that you will give me, God, I will dedicate him to you. And I'll have him separated for the purposes of God as a Nazarite. Hannah continues to pray in her heart, just giving herself to God. And as she's praying, Eli, who was the high priest of the day, misunderstands what's going on in that prayer closet. Because you see, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. And it's quite an indictment on Eli that here is a woman who's crying out to God, and the very high priest misinterprets this for a drunken woman. Anyway, Hannah is very quick to correct Eli. She states very clearly that I'm not a wicked woman. That literally translates to I'm not a daughter of worthlessness. I don't know what the world has called you. Perhaps they've called you worthless. Perhaps your culture has called you worthless. Perhaps there are people that have told you there's nothing that you'll ever achieve. But I want to say to you that God says you are special. God says you are carrying a lot that he wants to draw out from your life. There's something that you're carrying that is special to him. And because of Hannah's prayer, she provokes a blessing from Eli, an apostolic breakthrough from her prayer, because Eli was a system set by God at that time as a high priest to bind or loose things into the people of Israel. He had a very important place in terms of the spiritual structure built around the worship of God. And Eli, not Eli blesses Hannah right there. It's not that Eli was not there before. It's just that Hannah has decided to approach a problem differently. And this time, because of her prayer, she attracts the apostolic declaration that comes from Eli's mouth. And Eli blesses her. And as she leaves that place, Hannah is a different woman. Her countenance is changed. Her face is no longer downcast. Prayer has revealed things for this woman. Prayer has unveiled dimensions for this mother to be. that all things are possible to they that believe God. She realizes that there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries about your barrenness. She just realized that she was on God's most wanted list because God is looking for barren people. God is looking for barren men and women so that he could break through into their world and bless them. And just that one revelation changed the life of Hannah forever. Perhaps you need to hear this today, that your barrenness can change. Perhaps someone needs to hear this today, that your barrenness cannot stop God reaching out to you. That leads us to the third lesson today. Your barrenness is not a barrier to God's blessing. Let's read together 1 Samuel 1, verse 19 to 21. The Bible says, they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 20, and in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I've asked for him from the Lord. We read that the next morning, the family worshipped God, and then they started their way back home. The scripture tells us that in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, whom she called Samuel. Samuel means head or asked of God. So every time Hannah hears the name Samuel, she will remember that day when she came into the temple with a request and she did not leave that place empty-handed. She remembers the day she came into the temple barren and she went home with a womb ready to receive a prophet. She remembers the day when she came into the temple sad with a sorrowful face, but by the time she left, her countenance had changed. She remembers the day she came into the temple hopeless, hapless, and powerless. But that day, she found grace in the house of the Lord. Her story was changed. Her request was granted. Her life was touched by the living God. She went back a different woman. I pray that you will not leave this service empty-handed this morning. I pray that you will not leave this service still sad and sorrowful. I pray that you will not leave this service still hopeless and powerless, because there is a God in heaven who is able to change your story today. So from that day, Hannah knew that there is no barrier whatsoever that can stop God from breaking into your womb, from breaking into your heart, from breaking into your situation and blessing you. Hannah knew, of all people, that a God, this kind of a God, is an amazing God. Because she broke into a barrenness that was now a situation for her, an issue for her. Her culture had written her off. Penina had written her off. Her husband loved her, but he knew that he will not get an offspring from her. And yet heaven still believed, because Hannah was on God's most wanted list. And heaven responded when Hannah changed her approach to a problem. Maybe, just maybe, for some in here this morning, what you need to hear from God is that barrenness is a prelude or preparation to a greater blessing from God. Maybe you need to understand, someone here, that God is able to break the protocol of barrenness if you tend to him and call on his name, and nothing can stop him from getting to you. Someone needs to hear that you need to go beyond your crying. You need to go beyond your getting angry with people. You need to go beyond your losing appetite when someone provokes you. You need to come to a level where you go to God and press into God and press into God in such a way that God, heaven, can be shaken and your situation can be reversed. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 17, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart you, O God, will not despise. This sort of offering God will never despise. So here is Hannah coming to God Yes, she might not have an animal or money, but what she had and what she offered that day was a broken and a contrite spirit. God will not despise a broken or contrite spirit. So heaven responds, and God brought fruitfulness into this barren womb because she was a broken woman. You know what, church? Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same God who brought fruitfulness into Hannah's womb is the same God you can pray to today, and he too will bring fruitfulness into your life. It doesn't matter what's broken in your life today. It doesn't matter what it is that is confusing you, or a situation that cannot be explained by man or by words or by your culture. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he's here today just to hear you press into him. Maybe someone needs to turn to God today. You see, the only key to Hannah's problem is what she did when faced with grief and anguish and pain. The Bible says she poured her soul in prayer to God. She turned to God. I think there's a challenge there for us. Who do you turn to when you're in grief and anguish? Who do you turn to when you're provoked, when you're bitter, when you're frustrated by what's happening in your life right now? What do you do when you're faced with an attack that is prolonged, that is fashioned against you, that is not relenting in attacking you? Who do you turn to? The answer is found in what Hannah did. She turned to God in prayer. Imagine what could have happened if Hannah had not responded to God in the manner that she did. We do not know what could have happened, but what we do know is this: because Hannah was faithful in turning to God and keeping a promise to God to give back her son, the entire nation of Israel benefited for having Samuel as their prophet. You see, Samuel was no ordinary prophet. He was a man who the Bible says would not let the word of God hit the ground. He was a prophet of a different dimension. If you're a mother or a father today, you need to understand that your child could be the next Samuel. You have no idea what God has in mind for that child. And I want to encourage us to pray for our children. I want to encourage us to turn to God and press into God, because you could be carrying a Samuel. For those of us that are still expecting children, your wife could be carrying a Samuel. You could have a Samuel. And God could shake nations through a child like Samuel. You will know that Samuel is the man who anointed the first king of Israel. There was no way you could meet with Samuel and remain the same. Saul was looking for donkeys, and when he went to Samuel, the donkeys were found. But it was not only the donkeys that were found. It was the man who found his destiny when he had an encounter with the man of God. Perhaps you need to have an encounter this morning with the living God. It's time for you to turn to God. Your destiny is in God. It's not in donkeys. Your destiny is in God. It's not in double portions. Your destiny is in God. It's not in weeping and giving up on God. And so Hannah found that her destiny was actually tied to what she was carrying in her womb. And as Samuel rose and anointed kings, he also anointed David. Samuel set the dial of the nation of Israel for more than 80 years, because Saul ruled for 40 years and David ruled for another 40 years. And not only that, Samuel was the first prophet who managed to bring an order or school of prophets across the nation of Israel. And that order of schools of prophets continued for more than 500 years because of one woman who pressed into God and became pregnant, yet she was barren. She refused to accept her barrenness as something normal. She realized that this was an opportunity for God to change her destiny, for God to change the destiny of a nation, because she obeyed God. When we look at Hannah's sacrifice of her own son for God's greater purpose, we realize that the people of the Old Testament received a glimpse of what God intended to do when he gave his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. God gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, the very best he had in heaven. He gave him to us so that he may die for us on the cross. Imagine how God felt giving us his one and only Son. Imagine how Hannah felt giving up her son to God, to God to serve in the temple. And today, as you hear this story, Jesus is here for you. He's reaching out to you and me, saying, I can turn your barrenness into a blessing. Whatever it is, whatever form of barrenness you have this morning, if you bring it to God, if you turn to God, Jesus can change your story. Perhaps you are here today listening to this message. You've never given your life to Christ before. Perhaps you are here this morning. You are broken. You are hurting. You are barren. I've got a message for you. Jesus is here for you. You cannot leave this house empty-handed. You cannot go back to your situation still weeping and grieving. Jesus can change your story today. And I would like to pray with you as I come to a close. If you're one of those that are saying, God, change my situation. You're saying, God, I'm turning to you this morning. Change my story this morning. Would you break into my world and bless me? I want to pray with you. Father, I thank you for the different ones that are lifting up their hands right now as I pray. There's a barrenness out there, barrenness, spiritual barrenness. Some women, Lord, listening to this message are barren, like Hannah. But we turn to you this morning, that my God, you may bring a blessing to your children. We have nowhere to go. We turn to you, O God. We can't turn to our culture. Our culture has failed us. Man has failed us. And this morning, we realize that we can come to you in prayer because you turn impossibilities into possibilities. You reveal mysteries in the heavenlies that no man can explain. And this morning, we cry out to you, O God, that you will step into our barrenness and turn it into a blessing. In the name of Jesus. I pray for those that are still walking away from you, those that still don't know you, my God, that as they choose today to give and surrender their lives to you, that, my God, they will receive the blessing of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that their sins will be forgiven, that they will be cleansed from all unrighteousness, and that, my Lord, you will fill them with your Spirit in the name of Jesus. I want to pray specifically for those that you have a headache, whether it's migraine headache, and this headache is mainly from your forehead. It just keeps coming. I want to pray for you right now. Father, may you release your healing over that person with this headache that keeps coming right from the forehead. You headache, I command you, loose that person and let him go. Let her go in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your healing that you are releasing right now. Thank you for that heart, for that head that you are touching right now. The power of God that is able to heal you from any disease or any sickness. I release it upon you today. In Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.